So this is our second session of the morning, Sunday morning, on the 21st of September and the 21st of Elul. 12. And it's the beginning of Perek Shmini of Masechet Brachot, the 8th Perek. And the Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim shebein Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel Basuda. These are the things that are between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel concerning Suda. And of course what it means is, as I'm sure everyone figured out, that these are the things that are given over to argument, machloket, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel concerning the halachot of the Suda. It's not a question of what you eat in the Suda, it's a matter of the halachot that they're arguing over. And let's just note, it's not Shammai and Hillel that are arguing, it's Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. The Talmud notes that really Shammai and Hillel argued over very little. There's only three recorded machlokot between them. But it's Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai that had many different machlokot. In other words, their students for the generation and two generations, three generations after the teachers were organized in different houses or different camps, different movements.
Yeshivas.
Yeshivot, okay?
Yeshivot.
Yeah, they...
And they had a number of different, many different arguments.
Everywhere in the Gemara.
For example, what are some arguments between these two batim that we're familiar with?
Oh, Hanukkah candles.
Hanukkah candles, that's one everyone is familiar with. And here we see many things of Kiddush in this perek we're seeing. There are many others.
Say again? On Yom Tov, I think.
Which machloket, or what one?
Isn't there in Beitzah?
Of course, of course, in Hilchot Muktzah, very good. They're all over the place. And our Mishnah gives one machloket, and then the coming Mishnayot of this chapter give other machlokot. Beit Shammai omrim mevarech alayom, v'chakach mevarech alayayim. Beit Shammai says, we say the bracha on the day, and afterwards the bracha on the wine. And Beit Hillel says, mevarech alayayim, v'chakach mevarech alayom. First you say the bracha on the yayin, on the wine, and after you say the bracha on the day. So of course what they're talking about is Kiddush, not just the Kiddush of Shabbat, but the Kiddush of Yom Tov also. They might also be talking about not just Kiddush at the beginning of the holiday, beginning of Shabbat, be Kiddush at the end, which we call Havdalah. Might be the same thing. If we see from the Gemara, that it's specifically focusing on the beginning of Shabbat. From the explanations the Gemara gives of Beit Shammai, it's focusing on the beginning of Shabbat, but the same machlokot might apply, to the end, to Havdalah.
Would you call that a blessing on the day?
Why would I call it a blessing on the day? Because, to use the words of the Rambam, the mitzvah is L'kadesh et Shabbat b'tchilata uv'sofa. I'm sorry, the language is different. L'kadesh et Shabbat b'knisata uv'yitziata. Bless the Shabbat at its coming in and its going out. And how do you bless it? By distinguishing. At the beginning, we distinguish between Chol and Shabbat, and between Shabbat and Chol. But putting up those demarcators, those boundaries, those markers, is what makes that which is in the boundaries, makes it Kadosh.
And both are called a bracha.
And both are called a bracha, and both are called Kiddush. Havdal is called Kiddush. It's what makes the Shabbat Mikudash.
Kadosh HaShabbos, yeah.
At the beginning and at the end, Hamavdil, Bein Kodesh L'chol, makes the Havdalah. Let's put it this way, just like Havdalah in Halakha is called Kiddush, so Kiddush can be called Havdalah. We make Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbat, we're making a Havdalah between Chol and between Shabbat. Although that's not the normal language. Normally we call Havdalah Kiddush more than we call Kiddush Havdalah. But it's really the same thing. What does it mean, L'kadesh? It means L'havdil. It means to separate, to demarcate. Mm-hmm. Right? Reminds us of the Rashi on Parshat Kedushim. Kedushim to you, Rashi says Prushim to you, which means separate, right? To be Kadosh is to be separate, to be demarcated. Okay. So the questions I asked in the Mishnah are pretty straightforward. We already said, number one, Dvarim Shebein means matters given over to Machloket. Suda means Hilchot HaSuda, Three, I don't know if it's a good question. What discrepancy is there between the heading of the Mishnah and its content? I simply meant that the heading says Basuda, whereas Kiddush is, in a certain sense, not Basuda. It's Lifnei HaSuda. But obviously what it means, the Suda is the general framework of when you sit down, and perhaps that question just was meant to take up space. I'm not sure. I wrote it many years ago. In any case, who's the halacha like? Beit Hillel. Halacha ke Beit Hillel, always like Beit Hillel, except for in three cases. I'm trying to remember the three cases. One is a matter of Hilchot Melechet Makshevet on Shabbat. Okay, I don't remember the other three. Sit. Anyway, halacha is usually like Beit Hillel. The question that asks, what's the other ritual we do? I just simply meant the saying of Vayichulu. But again, that's really not important to our subject.
Or did you mean, I thought maybe after Borei Pri Hagafen, and then what's said before we get to Baruch Atah Hashem Kenoch Mekadesh HaShabbat? In other words, we also, that's...
What is said? You mean Shehiyanu for certain holidays and Leshiv
B'Sukkah? No.
All that is... No, all that is the Bracha Al Hayom.
Okay, part of the Bracha Al Hayom.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Kiddush has the Bracha on the Yom and the Bracha on the Yain. That's Kiddush. The Bracha on the Yom is a long Bracha.
Yeah.
It's a Bracha Aruka. Remember
okay.
The phrase Bracha Aruka? Matchila Bivaruch V'Misayemet Bivaruch. It opens with Baruch and ends with Baruch. It's a Bracha Aruka.
Okay. What's the meaning? What does Aruka mean?
Just long.
Long, okay.
Long. What long means here is not so much quantitatively, but qualitatively, it both begins and ends with a formula of blessing, Baruchat Hashem, as opposed to a Baruchat Tzara that only begins or ends with a formula of Baruch, but doesn't have two.
Okay.
Like Brei Nefeshot, Baruchat Hashem, Mokenu Mecham, Brei Nefeshot Rabot, it only has it once. Or the fourth Bracha of Birkat HaMazon, after Bonei Yerushalayim. Next one begins with Baruch, but doesn't end with Baruch. It ends with Al Yachasarenu. Okay. So, there's lots and lots and lots of pilpulim on this little Mishnah. What are they talking about? There's a Gemara and a Bavli, the Yerushalmi, and lots and lots of Rishonim trying to understand. We won't spend that much time in it, but let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara on our Mishnah, which in the Talmud Bavli is Nun Aleph Amud Bet. Nun Aleph Amud Bet. And right after the Mishnah are printed, you see that in Talmud Bavli it brings all the Mishnah of the whole Perek at once, before it starts with the Gemara, but that's just, I don't think that has any meaning, I don't think. Because the truth is in different manuscripts of the Gemara it sometimes appears differently. Mishnah, Gemara, Mishnah, Gemara. Here it's just Mishnah and then Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braita. Dvarim shebein Beit Shammai uBeit Hillel basuda. Beit Shammai amri mivarech al hayom v'achar kach mivarech al hayayin. Until now it was word for word like the Mishnah, but the Braita has more. Shehayom gorem leyayin shiavo. Why is it that Beit Shammai says that first you have the yom and after the wine? Because the yom causes the yayin to come. Ukvar kidesh hayom bayayin loba, adayin loba. And already was sanctified the day. Kidesh hayom, be very careful. Kidesh hayom does not necessarily mean, it can mean, but not necessarily, it doesn't mean the human activity. Kidesh Hayom can mean that the sun went down and the Yom became Mikudash by the sun going down. It also can refer to human activity, but be very careful that Kidesh Hayom means that the Yom became Mikudash from the very fact of the sun going down. It can mean that.
We have
in
both
many
concepts
contexts.
In the Torah, right?
So again?
We have both concepts in the Torah going back to the previous year.
We have Kiddush as a reality objectively, and we have Kiddush as something created by human activity. Uveit Hillel omrim, mevarech al hayayin, v'harkach mevarech al hayom. Say the bracha on the yayin and afterwards on the day. Shahayayin gorem lekiddush she'teamer. That the yayin causes the kiddush that it will be said. So here the word kiddush, I pronounced it wrong, kiddusha, here it's clear that kiddusha means the bracha. Whereas in the words of Beit Shem, it wasn't clear if it refers to what human beings do or what reality creates. But in Deit Hillel, it's clear. He says, the kiddusha she'teyamer. It's the yayin that causes the kiddusha to be said. Devar acher, a second explanation of the reasoning for Beit Hillel. Birkata yayin tidira, birkata yomena tidira. The bracha of the yayin is common. It's regular. You say it every day, whenever you have wine. It's a normal bracha. Whereas the bracha of the yom is not tidira. It's only once a week. And then the rule is, tadir sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Regular and not regular, regular takes precedence. B'halacha k'divrei Beit Hillel. B'halacha is like Hillel. So this is a classic case as far as the relationship between the Braita and the Mishnah. You see, the Braita has the halacha with an explanation of the sources, the reason. The Mishnah, which of course comes most probably after the Braita, the Mishnah is an extraction from the Braita. It takes from the Braita only the halacha and leaves the reasoning aside. It's really, really a classic case.
Is the part about the halacha said in the Braita still?
He read my mind. As I was reading, I said to myself, I wonder if anyone's going to ask that. Because I forgot to think about it before the class, and it came up in my mind.
Say it again.
The Braita end? Where it says, does it end where it says what the halacha is, or does it end before that? Like, where would the end of the quotation marks be?
Okay, so I'll throw the question back to you. How would we try and answer that question? What basis might we have to figure out if the words v'halacha k'divrei Beit Hillel are part of the Braita or not part of the Braita?
You could go find the Braita.
You could go find the Braita. Right. That's number one.
If it's available elsewhere.
We would notice here that... So cut off. Yeah, it appears in the Tosefta. You could look in the Tosefta, which I didn't do. How else could we figure out, without looking in the Tosefta, we figure out if the words halacha k'divrei Beit Hillel are part of the Braita or not? There's an easy answer to this, and we learned it last year.
Why does the Braita say that Birchas Hayom is not Tadir?
Because it's only once a week. As opposed to Birkat Hayayin, which people in those days said every day.
We don't drink wine every day.
But in those days they had wine every day.
And the French still do.
In those days, they used to drink wine every day?
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be a whole year. I drink it the whole year.
Does it have to do with the fact that it ends with Beit Hillel, the teaching of Beit Hillel?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't
have to do with this church.
I'll give you a hint. The hint is the difference between the word halacha and the word hilchata.
This is Hebrew. Oh, okay.
Right. It's Hebrew.
Yeah.
If it was the Gemara speaking, most probably would say hilchata kibeit Hillel. Since it says halacha kidivrei beit Hillel, it would seem to you that's part of the Tosefta, part of the Braita.
Yeah.
Part of the Braita. That's a good proof, except of course we'd have to look in manuscripts to see if any manuscripts have it hilchata. And not halacha, but in our manuscript that it says halacha, most probably it's part of the Braita. Okay. So now the question is to understand the explanations of each position. Understanding the position of Beit Hillel is easier than understanding the position of Beit Shammai. The position of Beit Hillel is pretty simple. It gives two different reasons, right? The first reason is that the yayin gorem lekidusha she'teyamer. If there wasn't yayin, you wouldn't say kiddush. You just couldn't say it without wine or without bread. You say the bread first. But since the wine is the facilitator of the bracha, therefore you say the wine first, and then that lets you say the bracha. It's very good logic.
It's interesting that in common language we would still say kiddush. You would say you make kiddush over orange juice. We would say that.
So
but it's not really Kiddush. I mean, you would make Shakol Nia Bidvaro.
I'm not following.
Oh, okay. If someone doesn't have wine.
Yeah.
And they don't have wine at home, so they would make Kiddush over some kind of juice.
So you say it over bread, over the pot.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Fine.
But then the bracha of the pot is first.
You could do it. You could do it over the bread.
So now, the second reason, tadir, v'enosh tadir, regular, not regular. Regular comes first. That's the rule. We'll, if we have time, we won't have time today. We'll see it in Masechet Horayot, that the common thing you say first, the famous example of that is, what do you do first on Hanukkah? Do you light the candles, or do you daven tefillat ma'ariv, haravit? Mahalacha is tadir, v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. So you first person daven ma'ariv. They come at the same time. When you're supposed to light, you're supposed to daven. You daven first, then you light the candles. In theory, that's what the halacha says. In theory, again.
Right.
Okay, so Beit Hillel is clear. But what is Beit Shammai saying? Beit Shammai says that you say the blessing over the yom first, and he gives what seems to be two reasons. It is two reasons, though they're related. One reason is that the yom gorem
le'yayin.
If it wasn't for the yom, you wouldn't have the yayin. And the second thing is that the yom comes before the yayin comes, right? The minute the yom comes, then you bring the yayin, but you don't bring the wine before the day comes. I'm purposely being vague, because there's a machloket here.
Oh, you're understanding it that it means the day comes when the sun goes down, but yet there's still no kiddush. That's the only
Let me not commit myself, because okay. I want to see the machloket here. We're going to see Rashi, the Rambam, and the Yushalmi. Let's see the Yushalmi first. Yushalmi takes us not to the next page, and not to the page after that, but the page after that says at the top in my handwriting, Yushalmi. This is the Yushalmi on our Mishnah. That's it. And in the brackets, I put the Mishnah, which is exactly like we've read the Mishnah, and then four lines down, it says Gimel Mem, Gemara, and here is the Yushalmi on our Mishnah. Ma ta'am hon. What is the reasoning? Tam is the reasoning, and hon is of them. Ma ta'am hon.
The Beit Shammai.
Right. The Beit Shammai. What is the reasoning of Beit Shammai? Shehakidushat hayom garma leyom shiavo.
Leyayin.
Thank you. Garma leyayin shiavo. That the kiddushat hayom, and I'm not going to translate that, causes the yayin to come. Ukfar nitchayev b'kiddushat hayom ad shelo ba hayayin. And already he was obligated in the kiddushat hayom ad shelo ba hayayin, until the wine didn't come. You're already obligated in the Kiddushat Hayom. Okay, now my question. The word Kiddushat Hayom can refer to, the phrase can refer to, the objective Kiddushah of the Yom, or can refer to the obligation of saying Kiddushat Hayom. Which is the Yushalmi referring to when it uses the phrase Kiddushat Hayom?
The obligation.
The obligation. Because it says, Ukvar nitchayev b'Kiddushat Hayom. You're already obligated in Kiddushat Hayom. So the Yushalmi seems to be using this phrase, Kiddushat Hayom, to refer to the subjective, I call it subjective, you know, as opposed to the objective reality, to the obligation to say Kiddush. That's all that's important there. That's all that's important. Now you'll read a little bit more, I change my mind. Ma tam hon de Beit Hillel, shayayin gorim le Kiddushat Hayom sheteamer. Because the wine causes the Kiddushat Hayom that it will be said. What I'm pointing out here is that the Yushalmi uses the same phrase both in explaining Beit Shammai and explaining Beit Hillel for this matter of the Yom. And it uses the phrase Kiddushat Hayom, and the Yushalmi seems to mean the obligation of saying something. You hear what I said? Now, let's hold the page for a second. Now go back to the first page. Look at the way the Braita is phrased in the Bavli.
the right is phrased. I'll read from the beginning. Tana Rabbanan, okay? Everyone have it?
Yeah.
Dvarim shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel besuda. Beit Shammai amrim mevarech layom v'hakam mevarech alayayin. Shahayom gorem. The word is yom.
The holiness of the day.
It doesn't say holiness, it says day.
Day.
The day causes the yayin to come. Ukvar kidesh hayom. The word is yom. So in the Bavli's version, the word used in the reasoning of Shammai is yom. Whereas in the reasoning of Hillel, the word used is kiddusha. Shetemer, that will be said. So let me say this now in the following fashion. As far as the reasoning of Hillel goes, it's clear that he's saying that the yayin causes the bracha to be said. It's the bracha. The factor, there's two factors. There's the yayin and there's something else. There's something else for Hillel is the bracha. It's not the objective reality, it's the bracha. Whereas in Beit Shammai, the wording is differently. The wording is different. It's not the bracha, it's the yom. And therefore I would think, in the Pshat of the Bavli, that while Hillel is talking about wine and bracha, Hillel is talking about wine and bracha, Shammai is talking about wine and yom. There's a difference. In the Yerushalmi, the same word is used both for Hillel and Shammai, Yain and Kiddushat Hayom. And there Kiddushat Hayom means not the day, the objective day, but the bracha, the obligation. So to make a long story short, we'll see that Rashi and the Rambam, each in the holds, one like the Bavli, one like the Yerushalmi. The Rambam holds like the Yerushalmi, Rashi holds like the opposite. Rambam holds like the Bavli, Rashi holds like the Yerushalmi. So now I say, so what? What's going on here? Now we have to think. Now we have to think. Okay, so what is Beit Hillel saying? Beit Hillel is clear. No one has an argument with Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says that you say the yayin first. Why? Because if you didn't have the yayin, you wouldn't say the bracha. So you say the bracha over the yom after the wine, because it's the wine that facilitates the saying, the bracha of the day. That's fine. The question is, Beit Shammai, are they talking of the same terms that Hillel is talking about, but seeing a different relationship to them? Or is Beit Shammai discussing completely the different terms? According to the Yerushalmi and Rashi, which we didn't have time to see, Beit Shammai is talking the same terms. The same terms. It's a question of relationship between the yayin and the bracha. The words you say. The reality that you create. Not say reality. The subjective reality that you create. The Shabbat that you create. And Beit Shammai simply says that if it wasn't for this bracha over the day, you wouldn't have the yayin. So the bracha of the day comes first. That's the Yerushalmi. But there's something much deeper in the Bavli. There's something much deeper in the Bavli. In the Bavli, when Shammai says the day, he's not referring to the bracha over the day. He's not referring to the reality you create. He's relating to the objective fact of the day. So let's think of it now in the following terms. I actually made this little chart here. According to the Bavli, there's day in two senses. There's two different types of day. When Shammai used the word day, he's talking to the objective reality of Shabbat being different, Mei Sheshit Yemei Breishit. When Hillel talks about that which is over against the yayin, he doesn't use the word day, he uses the word Kedusha. And that's referring, I shouldn't have wrote Yom, I should have wrote Kedusha. It's referring to that which is created by the human effort.
Is that in both explanations of Beit Shammai or in the second?
I would say it's in both, that's my point. But I'm not going to go into detail. Okay. I would say it's in both. Okay. So we're talking about actually three different things. We're talking about the objective reality of the day. We're talking about the yayin. We're talking about what human beings create through their bracha. So now the machloket is simple. Beit Shammai only looks at the objective reality, doesn't look at what human beings create. And he says the objective reality, well, the reality comes first, both chronologically and philosophically, and that causes the yayin to be there. Fine. Beit Hillel doesn't look at the objective reality. He just says, we create something through our bracha, and that's created only through the agency of Yayin. So therefore, the Yayin comes first, and the Kiddusha comes second. So we're arguing, Beit Shom and Beit Hillel, what's the order of the bracha over the Yayin, as opposed to the bracha over the day. The machlok, according to the Babli, is because the bracha over the day is understood differently by the two camps. Bracha over the day, Beit Shammai looks at the day. Beit Hillel looks at the bracha.
The metaphysical day, you might say.
The metaphysical as opposed to the subjective reality created. I know I'm doing it a little bit quickly, and it's hard perhaps to get all the details here, but actually what we have here is most probably a machloket that fits in with many, many other machlokot between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel consistently looks at the human side of things, what human beings create, the subjective reality, the partnership of Hachamim with the Kodesh Baruch in creating a new reality. Whereas Beit Shammai, I don't want to use pejorative words, Beit Shammai doesn't recognize human creation, only recognizes the reality that God created, and human beings are simply there to recognize that, but not to create new realities. Mm-hmm. Beit Shammai is talking about the fact that there is a day of Shabbat. I don't make it. Hachamim don't create it. The bracha is simply a recognition of an existing reality. So, for Beit Shammai, you say the bracha over the yom first, because that's the existing thing that God created. The bracha simply recognizes that day, and then you say the yayin. The yayin only comes because of the objective reality of the day. But Beit Hillel is not looking at objective reality. It's looking at what's created by the human beings sanctifying Shabbat. And that comes after the yayin, because it's a function of using the yayin to create that Kiddushah. So there are actually two different approaches to Kiddushah here. For Beit Shammai, Kiddushah is an objective given. For Beit Hillel, Kiddushah is something created by human beings. Now, I don't want to be too radical about it. Of course, each camp probably recognizes a little bit of the other camps. Shammai perhaps does recognize some human creativity, and Hillel does recognize some divine objective reality, but more or less, the emphasis is always different. This one recognizes the objective reality, and this one talks more about the creativity of human beings. There are so many different examples we can give for this. Let's just talk about the concept of Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. These and those are the words of the living God. That human beings relate to the Torah differently, interpret it differently, and create Shivim Panim LaTorah, 70 aspects of Torah. That's Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai doesn't agree. Beit Shammai says there's one reality, the one written in the Torah. Just figure out what it means. And when you get it right, there's one truth. Beit Hillel says there's many truths, because Beit Hillel understands truth as a function of the human interaction with the Torah. That's one example of the difference between them. Another example, the famous story of the Tanor Shel Achnai, which I told in a different context just a few days ago, the arguments of the Hachamim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, over the oven. So Rabbi Eliezer, who didn't accept the authority of the Hachamim to decide, was from Beit Shammai. He was one of the last remaining members of Beit Shammai, and he said that the halakha is a given in heaven. God will speak and tell us what the halakha is. So the Hachamim said, we don't care what God says. Leave God out of it. He's given us the Torah to create our subjective reality. He's given us that that authority, and that's the position of Beit Hillel. That's another... is also, I won't get into the details of the argument over when we celebrate Shavuot, when we start counting Yomer. It's also machloket between the Bitusim, the Isim, which go in the direction of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and one says, the Bitusim say, we take what the Torah says, period. Whereas Beit Shammai says, we have the authority to creatively interpret the Torah. So that's probably something
Did
that's going on
here.
You
mean to say Beit Hillel says we have the authority to...
Yes. I said it wrong?
I believe you said Beit Shammai.
Okay. Yeah. So this could be what's going on here, possibly speaking. Yeah. I'll just see if we have any time left.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
So, when I read this debate of the two sides, I expected somebody to say something about the fact that after you say a blessing on wine, you're supposed to drink the wine right away.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Which I always wondered about anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And And in that sense, Beit Shammai doesn't have a hefsek between the saying the bracha of the Ryan and the drinking, whereas according to Beit Hillel, there's a hefsek. Yeah. I only know the standard answer, that it's not called the hefsek, because it's litzorech, it's for the need of the framework.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think of it.
Do you have anything to say about why the Yerushalmi doesn't seem to pick up on the philosophical difference based on the language?
Oh, that's a really that's a good point. I'm trying to rack my brain and see if it's true that the Yerushalmi has more of a tendency to read
in the
right. That's a good question. I didn't think of that.
Could it be the heavier Aramaic as opposed to the Hebrew and the familiarity with the...
Okay, I don't know, but it seems to me deep in the recesses there's something like that. Okay. That it's the Babylonian approach that was more of what we call the Beit Hillel approach. Okay, so...
When we do the difference, the difference in the argument between having the candles diminish according to Shammai on Hanukkah or increase... That you could say that the diminishment is more of a practical, more exacting recreation of the miracle, you know, and the other is more symbolic.
Right. Going from 8 to 7 to 6 is simply reflective of the reality. There's less and less oil each day. The reason I didn't go into that is because there's an unbelievable amount of material trying to understand at Machloket. And everyone reads his own approach into it.
Right.
I didn't want to add myself to that list. Reading my own approach into it, so I just stayed out of it. Is it 10:20? I don't have my watch.
No,
11:20. So can we go 5 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about this idea of tadir, v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. That which is common, is regular, comes before that which is non-regular. And actually comes from a... Mishnah Masechet Horayot, which I photostated in the last two pages of the booklet, the second to last page of the booklet. You just take time to look. This is Masechet Horayot. And there it says in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, Kol Shetadir Mechavero Kodem Lechavero. That's the rule, and it's accepted across the board. All that's more frequent than its fellow, it comes before its fellow. It also adds, V'chol ha-mikudash mi-chavero kodem et chavero. All that's holier than its fellow comes before its fellow. And this, by the way, is the source for the rule that the Kohen gets the first aliyah. Anyone who's more mikudash is kodem, whether it's in the saying of the Zimun for Birkat HaMazon, it's the aliyah for the reading of the Torah. The Kohen is more mikudash, and therefore he is kodem. Of course, this brings up the question, when you have a conflict between Tadir and Mikudash.
Right.
So we'll end by looking at the Gemara that asks us that question. Now we, last page, the Yerushalmi in Masechet Yoma, at the very bottom of the page, in my brackets, it says, Debate Shammai Amrei Tadiru Mikudash Mikudash Kudem. Chain Rabbi Lazar Omer Tadir Mikudash Mikudash Kodem. I just mentioned to you 5 minutes ago that in the story of the Tanor Shel Achnai, Rabbi Eliezer represents Beit Shammai. Here you have it explicitly, that it says Rabbi Lazar, which is the way of saying Rabbi Elazar, with the Aleph falling out at the beginning, and that's what they spoke in Eretz Yisrael. It says Rabbi Lazar holds like Beit Shammai, that if you have a problem of a conflict between Tadir and Mikudash, the Mikudash is Kodem. And of course, what it means is, according to Beit Hillel, if you have a problem with Mikudash and Tadir, Tadir is Kodem. And I was saying to myself, I don't have any proof, that this might be reflective of the same machloka we talked about a few minutes ago. Mikudash is a metaphysical reality. Tadir is very often, not at all, it's a human reality. Like we said, why is Yayin more Tadir than Shabbat? Because people drink it more often than once a week.
That's
so Tadir is something
before,
created by human beings. Mikudash is something created by God. So you have the problem of what takes precedence, the rule of precedence of Mikudash or the rule of precedence of Tadir. Well, Beit Hillel says it's the Tadir that takes precedence because that's the human over the metaphysical, whereas Beit Shammai says it's the metaphysical over the human, the Mikudash over the Tadir.
Shabbos takes first, yeah. Yeah, it's true that the Tadirs are not clear. Really not clear.
Tadir is a human,
which one
that
is
can change.
More important, which one is not.
Well, but in situations like, you know, do you say, if you've missed a Shemona Esrei, do you say, which one do you say first? Then it's not, well.
Right, Tadir is not is not always a human creation. That's true.
Right.
But Mikudash is always a metaphysical.
People
given.
Don't drink wine all the time. Mm-hmm. And but people, we have Shabbos all the time. Shabbat, I mean the holidays are Tadir.
Well, it depends. It's relative.
Yeah.
Relative to. So you're thinking of our...
It's yours,
I mean, unless you say that that's
sure.
All
mine?
Of human
yes.
Innovation, which I guess is a holiday issue.
I can't put my finger on it, but I'm trying to say that Tadir is always less metaphysical than... In Mikudash. Mikudash is obviously a metaphysical concept. Well, you know, with the matter of Tfilat Aravit and Hanukkah candles, Aravit is only a minhag. It's not a halakha.
It's not halakha?
No, and actually once upon a time, we said Aravit was reshut, and many people didn't say it. But when it became a common custom, then it becomes tadir.
But it's still not halakha, even though it's a minhag.
So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's not a halakha, but everyone has to do it.
Ah.
Go figure it out.
So the conclusion of this, I mean, is that Judaism adopts almost universally the Beit Hillel concept. So it would go in this more humanistic direction, you might say.
It's the whole story of the partnership between man and God, the whole story of the story of Rabbi Akiva who made heaps and heaps of halachot with the crowns. So the whole story of the Tenor Shel Achnai of Lo B'Shamayim Hi, which seems to be the clear direction of the Gemara. The question is, there are certainly many, many thinkers, especially Haredi thinkers in our generation, who I think try to go back in the previous direction.
But they would say maybe that at a certain point it became frozen. In other words, yeah, at one point it was like Beit Hillel, but with Chatimat HaTalmud or maybe Shulchan Aruch, at that point it became, it went back in the Beit Shammai direction.
I think you're confusing two concepts. Even if something becomes frozen, but that doesn't, that's not indicative of its metaphysical status. It might be frozen, but still the question is, where did it come from? What is its status? You
right.
Look at it as a. The fact that it's frozen doesn't mean that it's always supposed to be like that. That it's divinely ordained truth. It doesn't mean that it's one stage in the development of the halakha. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave human beings the authority to develop that halakha. So even if it's frozen for a million years, but its status is still something that is ordained to be changed or developed.
In theory, but not in practice, as they would say.
Were you about to say something? Should I turn it off?